All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hopgood, Frank Maloney, Dr. Bobby Call in studio with us, and you'll hear from Chris Sill in a little bit with the Olympic report. But now we're, and also, by the way, 3450910, if you want to call in, particularly during this segment, and have any comments about the Hoos in the first two games or the upcoming game against Georgia Tech. But I think that's going to be the subject matter now. We're going to, instead of looking back, look ahead to the Yellow Jackets. Dr. Call, what do we expect on Saturday at 3:30 down in Atlanta?
Well, you know, if you see how well our run game is going and our run defense is going, that triple option, they're going to stack it with that, I think. You know, you got to go up the middle. You can run the pass option. You can do the sweep. And they're good at it. So we're going to have to be tough at linebacker, at defensive end. We're going to have to be quick, get good reads. They're going to triple option us all day if we can't defend it. And that quarterback is quick. I mean, he can throw it. I mean, it's not – I don't think he's a great passer, but, you know, if the guys are open, it's going to be a difficult night. You know, we got to play defensive back football, too. We got to cover those passes. I mean, it's really down to the basics. You got to play your position and beat the man ahead of you. And that's the way you stop the triple option.
You know, watching their game very carefully when they played Virginia Tech, which I thought was a very fascinating game. I mean, you had a lot of contrast, a lot of strategy going on in that game. You know, the trick for Tech was Virginia Tech defended that first option to the fullback beautifully. I think if you take that away from Georgia Tech, then they move down the line. And I think with the agility we have at defensive end and our outside linebackers, then they're playing into what should be our strengths on the defense. I'm a little concerned about that first option because there's, you know, they've got some big linemen, and their center, I believe, is all ACC. And you got to stop that first fullback wherever he's going in the line, whether it's the 0-2-4 hole.
Well, you know, Frank, against Penn State, we did a pretty good job of stacking up the middle, though. So, yep. And Penn State had some big linemen. So, actually, I was very encouraged with that. So, I think the key is going to be on the corner. We're going to have to stop that corner.
And what are the roles of the linebackers in the secondary against a option offense like that?
Well, you know, the linebackers, the defensive end, you know, they're going to play that quarterback, and they got to cover the option. So it's one or the other. You know, you got to be there and make that quarterback pitch and then have the other guy covered.
And I guess from a secondary standpoint, you can't get fooled or sucked in and all of a sudden somebody's behind you with the forward pass.
And last year, Chase Minifield defended that pitch like a champ. He was unbelievable. He was meeting that guy right near the line of scrimmage. He was beating that block. And Demetrius Nicholson did a good job against that last year. And I think when Georgia Tech came to Charlottesville last year, they were undefeated, and they were number 12 in the nation. And people forget about that game. Everybody remembers Miami and Florida State away. They remember those games. But let me tell you, that Georgia Tech game, that was a huge win. And this game has huge importance for Virginia this year. This first road game, it's hard to believe that such an important game is already here on the schedule. Virginia wins this game, it puts a two-game gap between them and North Carolina, and we stay in line to challenge Virginia Tech for the Coastal.
You know, one thing that, even when I played, if you beat a team, the next year you've got a lot of confidence. And a lot of that game is in the head. You know, as long as we can match up and play good football, I think we'll mentally be prepared. Georgia Tech's coming off a 59-3 victory. I mean, that might have been like a practice game to them. So I'm not sure that really helped them this past weekend.
Well, this game, I think, pretty much in the first quarter, right away, Virginia has got to get up and get a lead. Don't you guys think so?
Yeah, two things. I think you said Carolina, two-game lead over Carolina. I think you probably meant two-game lead over Georgia Tech.
No, both. We want both.
I know, but Carolina's lost once so far.
Yeah, but Carolina's got a tough game coming up next week.
Right. But at any rate, I think – and the other thing, I'm trying to remember, did Richmond have any turnovers? Have we forced a turnover in the first two games? You know, against Georgia Tech and that option, I always think turnovers are big. If you can somehow force a turnover or two – give your offense a short field to work with, it's really advantageous.
You know, when you look back at our defense against Penn State, they were like the, you know, the ICU or the SWAT team, the FEMA team coming in to rescue a catastrophe.
Well, let's not say FEMA.
And you know,
I hope it's a little better. You know, FEMA doesn't have the best reputation overall.
You know, they responded, and they came through. Granted, Penn State dropped some passes and dropped some balls, but in the end, they came out ahead. So, you know, Frank, I don't think we got to grab the lead right off the bat. Sure, we've got to, but these guys, they're not folding. They're not giving up. So I think that's encouraging. I think that's going to help us for next week, too.
Well, I guess a better way to view the game, I think if Virginia can get the lead and possibly force Georgia Tech into playing a more desperate brand of football, and if Virginia can force them into second and long, third and long, we'd rather see their quarterback throwing than running.
Absolutely, yeah. If they get into a running game, it's going to be history.
Well, you know, you would think the one advantage of getting ahead of Georgia Tech is with their offense, they're not the best come-from-behind team because they're not really quick-strike type team. So I think if we could figure out a way to get ahead early or play well early, and it would be nice if we can figure out a way to run the football too, because I know that's what Coach London's first priority always is to run the football.
You know what's amazing is that team, that defensive team is so young. Well, they have two juniors perhaps starting as the oldest people out there, and Greer. I mean, these guys are young, so it'll be a true test to do something as complex, you know, fight that option.
On the road, yeah. You know, it's interesting. I thought Greer had not only just a phenomenal game, and he was named ACC Linebacker of the Week, and Odey Obuchi, number 72, was named Offensive Lineman of the Week this week by the ACC. But to me, Greer, he struggled, particularly against the pass plays that Richmond threw, and then on Saturday against Penn State, he lifted his game. I think he had 15 tackles, which was a career high. And he had two sacks on top of that. If he plays like that again, I think Virginia's going to win because I think the team keys not only off of his play calls and his adjustments that he's shouting out to his defensive teammates, but they key off his leadership.
You know, the other thing, I agree totally with that. And, looking back at that game, the front four did not get blown off the ball. So I think that's encouraging, especially with the horses Penn State had up front. So.
Yeah, because I thought certainly Penn State had size on both the offense and defensive fronts.
Well, I think that was good preparation for what we're going to see in Atlanta. I think Georgia Tech's offensive line they're big, and they were trading blows left and right with Virginia Tech that first game of the season. And they're ready for collision football.
And it's going to come down to tackling. You look at at Nicholson. I mean, he had that. Once he got somebody wrapped up by the ankle, he was not letting go.
And Maurice Kennedy from Verona had a similar tackle. Mm-hmm. So he's been learning by watching Trey Nicholson make those huge plays. But and Anthony Harris had a pretty good game, I thought, at safety. He's getting better. So Draquan Hosky from Henrico had his moments as well. And I think they're all coming along. They're sophomores. It's just going to take time.
You do learn a lot with each game, though. So.
Well, they always talk a lot about preparation. How much does it hurt Jim Reed that he only has the 1 week to prepare for Georgia Tech since it's completely different than anybody else's offense?
Well, I think they were pre-planning some, too. They spent some time earlier, in the last couple of weeks, working on Georgia Tech. So I think that was a bonus.
And that's true. On the teleconferences the last couple of days, Coach London was quick to point that out, that they had some days where they ran the scout team against the defense, working on the options so that this week wouldn't be such a shock.
You know, one thing people don't think about, too, is how good is that scout team? You know, now that we're getting better players every year, that scout team gets better and better. I mean, if you're not going 110% during practice, you're not going to be able to keep that up during a game.
Now, help me here. The scout team is not necessarily the second team. That's far deeper than that, right?
It's second team.
So it's really
second
first team
and third team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's interesting is Jacob Hodges, the holder, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he was a quarterback in high school. And he holds on field goals and extra points, that kind of thing. He apparently ran an option offense in high school. And so last year and this year, he's been trying to replicate that as the scout team offensive quarterback when they've been practicing or simulating the Georgia Tech offense. Now, Hodges is so small. I heard from the coaches said something like, you know, air linebackers couldn't even spot him when he went down the line because he's so small running behind.
Well, maybe we're set up for another hook and ladder. We used that against Georgia Tech a few years ago very successfully on a place kick.
Well, we better play the punt well, too, because occasionally teams will run on the punt. Well, like Penn State.
They fooled us.
That was ugly.
You know, I think his special teams have improved, but that was disappointing to see them snap it to the up guys. And they waltzed for, like, what, 10 yards? I mean, that was too easy.
They're going to pay for that. You know, the special teams guys, they're going to be ready this weekend.
You know who's due, and we haven't been calling his name out on the show and on the PA system in Scott Stadium much, Leroy Reynolds. He has yet to really emerge this season the way I had expected. And this might be the type of game where his style of play and his ability to break quickly on the option and run somebody down or anticipate and drill the quarterback a few times, he could be a surprise. I fully expect Henry Coley to keep improving. I think Coley's gotten better every game since they moved him to outside linebacker. Switching to offense. Offensive line play has got to improve drastically, and I mean fast. The two guards have not I'm going to not cuss here. They've just not been doing the job, and it's a shame because I think we have two of the best tackles we've had in a very long time, and two of the best in the ACC. We have awesome tight ends, and our center needs to remember he's got to snap the ball first. He's got to make sure that Rocco has the ball. We've got three quarterback center to quarterback exchanges that have been botched, and can't have those mistakes, not on the road.
No.
Yeah, that's kind of like the inbounds play in basketball. You got to be able to execute the inbounds play and get the ball inbounds. So that seems rather basic, but you got to be able to snap the ball successfully and not, you know, that's one of those things you never really think about as a fan until it goes wrong.
Yeah, and the offensive line, it's a complex game there. You know, they interact, they got to know what each other is doing, and yeah, I hope they get it together because if they don't, we're in big trouble.
Well, the one thing they've tried to do is maybe the swing passes where they get the ball out to the running backs or the wide receivers where they have a little space and use their athletic ability and speed.
Yep, a little quick-hitting type passes over the middle, you bet.
All right, I think we may be joined momentarily by Dr. Jody Smith to jump on the line with us and give us an update on the injury report. Dr. Smith, are you with us?
I'm right here. Hey, Doc, how are you?
All right, Dr. Jody Smith of Ortho Virginia, and Frank, I think, has a couple of questions from an injury front.
Sure.
All right, based upon my intelligence sources, and believe me, things have gotten much tougher over these last 2 years in terms of gathering data on players. But
just to point out, intelligence and Frank are not often used in the same sentence.
Yeah. Well, picking you, that made it tough on me, but that clearly is something. Clifton Richardson still battling his hamstring problems. Billy Shouts, they said he started the game, but I never saw him hardly in the game at all at defensive end. Cody Wallace did not play, they say, in lower leg. Tim Smith left the game in the fourth quarter or somewhere in the game, and I'm not sure he ever came back. But, Jody, have you heard anything new, and what are your thoughts on those guys?
Starting with Clifton Richardson, I think he probably could have gone based on what I've heard. He was, as I talked about 2 weeks ago, hamstrings are so touchy, and so no one really wants to play anybody before they have to. As we talked about earlier, our running backs didn't really run far enough to get tired this week, so I don't know that if they needed him, he could have played. I think you probably will see him play next week. Shaw did play, and I hear his injury was not related to the injury that he had last year. I can't say exactly what it was, but I don't think it was anything to do with his broken bone. He hopefully will be ready to go next week. I don't think Tim Smith was injured. From what I did a little more investigation after we talked earlier, Frank, and it doesn't sound like he had a medical problem. It may have been more of a sideline issue, and I'll leave it at that.
And Cody Wallace did not play at guard, which opened the door for Connor Davis from deep run got to play. Mihalik played some at center, and Bowanko went out of the game, but I believe Luke Bowanko came back in. Cascarano was playing the other guard. bottom line is those guards, they need some excuses because they're not blocking many people.
Wallace got hurt at the end of the Richmond game, and from what I understand, when they practiced last week, whether it was injury-related or whether it was just what happened, as they graded out, he didn't grade out as a starter for the game.
Wow.
So I don't know if his play, I can't for sure say. I know he did get hurt at the end of the Richmond game, and he did leave limping. He had a lower leg injury, to quote Coach London, and they won't give us much more information than that. But he was not the starter in the depth chart last week.
Well, you know, looking at defensive end, Shouts played, I guess. I didn't really see him making any plays, and he played like a wild man against Richmond. He was everywhere. He knocked down a pass. He was disrupting everything on his side of the field. And I just wondered if his leg has come all the way back. And I know people are saying it's not, but it almost seems superhuman for him to come back from two broken bones and high ankle sprain and all the, you know, sprained ligaments in his knee and everything else. I mean, it seems almost impossible that a guy could come back from all that.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, sometimes the severity of the injury doesn't really reflect how hard it is to come back, and not to take anything away from Billy Schott, too. You know, again, certainly a terribly gruesome injury at the Florida State game. But you know, typically broken bones heal, and this one in particular, they tend to heal well. And so, you know, once that bone heals back, it is as strong as it's ever been. And so, you know, at least in theory, he should not have problems going forward with that bone. It's not like it's weaker now. It's not like a sprained ankle where you do it a couple times and all of a sudden it's really easy to sprain your ankle. When that bone heals, it should be solid and as good as it ever was.
Last question, then we've got to jump to our next break. We're speaking with Dr. Jody Smith of Ortho Virginia. Jody, Clifton Richardson's hamstring, this thing has been going on a while. And I know we've had other players this year with tweaked hamstrings. Just quickly give people a little reminder on what people have to do to take care of maybe, you know, the weekend warriors out there that have a hamstring problem.
Sure. I mean, the hamstring injuries typically, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's an injury that occurs with acceleration. So typically tight muscles are much more easy to injure than people who stretch beforehand. And so certainly people who are infrequent exercisers, people who go out and play, for example, in some of the flag or touch football leagues in the city, when they go out there and the only time they ever run full speed is for an hour on a Sunday. Stretching is very important and a great thing to do to prevent injury. You know, they say if you warm muscles up and increase the blood flow to them, you're much less likely to injure them. Now, certainly our athletes at Virginia are in the best of shape and do a lot of stretching. And so simply stretching doesn't guarantee that you won't have an injury. But the more that you do, the less likely you are to hurt yourself.
All right, Jody, as always, we thank you for your time. We'll certainly have you back soon.
All right, you guys, thanks a lot.
All right, Dr. Jody Smith of Ortho Virginia joining us tonight with the injury report. We're going to go to our final break, and when we come back, we're going to get the Olympic report, some final thoughts, preview next week's show, so stay tuned.